From the studios of NPR West, I'm Tony Cox. The 1984 blockbuster British charity single Do They Know It's Christmas sparked an historic concert the next year that drew artists and audiences from across the world together to help famine relief in Africa. 20 years later, our reporter Allison Keyes takes a closer look at the benefit concert and why it has become such a cultural phenomenon.
Many in the business of staging these mega benefit concerts cite George Harrison's Concerts for Bangladesh at New York's Madison Square Garden as one of the first such events. Held August 1st of 1971, the shows boasted an all-star lineup: Eric Clapton, Bob Dylan, Ravi Shankar. The event also had a charitable cause, raising money to help the children of flood-ravaged Bangladesh. It was one of the earliest examples of rock musicians acting as philanthropists, and the public responded generously. By 2001, the concert, along with an album and film of the show, had raised about $10 million. It also sparked a whole phenomenon.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid.
In October of 1984, the BBC broadcast a documentary with horrific pictures of the victims of famine in Ethiopia. The images so touched Bob Geldof, then of the punk band the Boomtown Rats, that he formed the relief organization Band Aid. A group of artists including Sting and Phil Collins recorded the single Do They Know It's Christmas in just one day. The song sold over 12 million copies and was the catalyst for Live Aid's dual concerts in London and Philadelphia in July of 1985.
The remarkable thing about Live Aid was that it was watched by almost 90% of the UK public. I mean, it was, streets were emptied.
Mama, just
Bernard Daugherty from the Band Aid Trust press office was in London for the show. He says it only took 6 weeks to organize the more than 50 acts for the simultaneous concerts that played on TV for about 16 hours straight.
It was a global jukebox, and they all committed to playing hits, and that it was hit after hit, and it just got everybody watching the TV. And with that message of helping famine in Africa, it was remarkable. I mean, it's 20 years ago, but still money comes in.
Daugherty says music breaks all barriers and that the concert fundraising model is successful because music very easily appeals to a mass audience. A DVD of the Live Aid concerts was released last month. So was a new version of the single, Do They Know It's Christmas. The 2004 single features Coldplay's Chris Martin, Joss Stone, and rapper Ms. Dynamite, among others, and sold more than 72,000 copies when it was released in the UK. Daugherty says the DVD has raised between $6 and $7 million for famine in Africa, particularly Ethiopia and the surrounding areas, in just 8 weeks.
The point of it is to get people politically motivated, is to get them to write to their politicians, is to tell them to take their fingers out from where the sun doesn't shine and do something.
I thought we would be a more civilized world, and unfortunately we're not, and we still have a lot to learn.
Motivation is exactly what prompted Greek opera star Mario Frangoulis to get involved in Refugee Voices, a concert for Darfur, held earlier this month in London. Artists involved include the Brand New Heavies and bass baritone Sir Willard White. Frangoulis says he had been unaware of the crisis in Sudan, what with the war in Iraq and this year's Olympic Games in his country. And he says it's sad that people who live in the same world can miss things that are very vital. Being with other artists who care, Frangoulis says, was great.
It's one way of saying we are all together, we are all refugees on this planet. I mean, if you think about it, somebody brought us here, and we have to care for each other.
Disco diva Jocelyn Brown also performed. She says pictures of some of the estimated 1.8 million forced from their homes in that region of Sudan made it imperative that she get involved.
Seeing women who are my age and our age living with their children who are dying in their laps, you know, and watching grown men cry because they can't help they can't do anything about it. We live in this world and don't be thinking about things like that.
Karuja Nsingye Yumba is head of talent at the UN's High Commission for Refugees, the agency which arranged the London concert. She says since the show December 8th, it has raised between $350,000 and $1 million. The artists were backed by the Royal Philharmonic Concert Orchestra, and most performed the music of Cole Porter to make the evening extra special. She also says setting up the distribution of funds was an important component of putting on this extraordinary show.
We wanted to have the money directly go to us, directly to spend it, and not to be channeled through something else. We needed the money very, very urgently indeed. And we needed to have direct access without losing anything anywhere on the way.
She says more funds will be raised when a DVD of the show is released. That's something she learned by studying different fundraising events over the last 20 years.
I found also that telethons raise a lot of money, much more usually than just a concert. So the idea for us was also very clear that if we do a concert, we will have to record it, we will have to sell the DVD, and we will have to do a TV broadcast combined with a telethon and a call center. There are a couple of events that were failures for various reasons, but very often it was because of overspending.
We held a concert out in Brooklyn.
Overspending wasn't a problem at the huge concert for NYC, held in October of 2001, right after September 11th. Mega sponsors VH1, Cablevision, Miramax, and AOL got together to produce a six-hour show at Madison Square Garden, including Billy Joel and 19 other musical guests, plus seven filmed love notes to the city, and 30 celebrity presenters. Lori Fabiano of the Robin Hood Relief Fund says the charity organization has raised $36 million from the concert, DVD, and CD of the show. She says thanks to the show's producing sponsors, every dime went directly to relief efforts.
There was a lot of immigrant populations who were deeply affected by 9/11. In fact, Robin Hood was one of the first to help undocumented workers who were either victims at the Trade Center or who lost jobs, etc.
But she agrees that putting on a concert of this magnitude might be more than just a notion for the average nonprofit.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call.
Ken Cragen, president of USA for Africa and one of the co-organizers of the original We Are the World recording session, says there's another possible pitfall for those who want to produce giant fundraisers. He says the public now is more jaded than people were when these events began working so well in the mid-80s. Cragen says that's why there are fewer of these concerts now than there were 20 years ago.
Once we get something that works, we overdo it.
Though We Are the World was a single, not a benefit concert, the song has raised $63 million to date. Cragen says in February, a DVD of the making of We Are the World will be released to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the song, and that money will also go to help victims of famine in Africa.
Truth is, what we raised more importantly than anything was awareness, the attention to the issue, the fact that those issues have been out front and in the news almost ever since, was, I think, the major contribution of Band Aid, We Are the World, Live Aid, Farm Aid. All of those events of that phenomenal year in 85.
Over at Farm Aid, which has been putting up a concert every year since 1985, Executive Director Carolyn Mugar says their fundraising has dropped from $9 million for the first concert to $1.2 million in 2004. But she's not sure it's because people are becoming jaded.
Well, I don't know if they contribute less or there are more demands on them. Statistically, I can't tell you, but I know that we've had loyal donors that have actually sent us $5 a month for the entire 19 years now.
Farm Aid, she says, unless founder Willie Nelson has other ideas, isn't going anywhere. Neither are the efforts of the Band-Aid Trust, even though it's faced some criticism over the words to its single, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Well, tonight, thank God it's them, instead of you.
Some critics, like Dave Timms of the World Development Movement, say the lyrics, especially 20 years later, are insulting.
We think that the lyrics are simply patronizing, they're false, and they're out of date.
But Band-Aid's Doherty thinks that opinion is nitpicking a record that's been helping people.
Last week in this town of London, England, the London Times and the independent newspapers had front page stories of famine in Africa. That sort of information probably would have found one paragraph on page 23.
For NPR News, I'm Allison Keys in New York.
Spare a fort, this Yuletide for the deprived. If the tables turn, would you survive?
Here's to them underneath that burning sun.
You ain't gotta feel guilt, just selfless. Give a little.